Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Youth Summit, taking place February 12th and February 13th at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club in Portland. February 12th will feature a workshop called Healing Ourselves to Raise Our Future and a performance by spoken word artist S. Renee Mitchell. February 13th will feature workshops on topics ranging from becoming an MC to healthy living to information on going to Africa. That evening, the summit will close with a youth talent showcase. Again, that's the Portland Youth Summit, February 12th and 13th at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club, 5250 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at cabo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. It is exactly 10 o'clock and you are tuned to KBOO Portland. And coming up this morning on The Boo at 10:15 on Flashpoints, we have an in-depth discussion with radical author and economics professor Richard Wolff on what a socialist presidency under Bernie Sanders would look like. And at 11 on The Recovery Zone, host Stephanie Potter interviews Greg Jobin-Leeds and Agit Art about their book, When We Fight, We Win. Thanks, KBOO members, for your wonderful support. If you are not a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And now, stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, January 27th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today, we have two extraordinary guests. Alan Brown is with the Public Banking Institute. More states are signing on to public banking, and it is going to shift the weight of economic life in America more to the left. I might as well just go ahead and say that straight up. If Bernie Sanders can say he's a socialist, I can say that we're shifting it to the left. And this is the thing that the conservatives fear more than they fear liberals with guns. They fear the prospect of redistribution of the wealth in this country. And public banking goes a long way towards making the playing field just a little bit more level and life in America a little bit more equal economically. Our second guest today is, of course, the inimitable. We're going to be speaking with Tony Eaglehart Garcia and Hawk, and they are going to talk about a benefit for an incredible project. Red Lodge Transition Services does work in the community that I don't have words to say how much I respect and admire what they have done. And this is a CD release party. It benefits Red Lodge, and it is amazing music. We've got our guest waiting on the line, but I have a couple of, as the entire world knows now, of course, they have finally shut down part of the Malheur. The Malheur standoff, I guess. It's become a standoff. It's going to be a standoff in court now. Obviously, these white boys are going to fight tooth and nail. They fail utterly to understand what the Constitution actually is, what's mandated, what the laws of the land are, and how very fortunate they've been with their grazing rights up until this point. So one person died, of course, in the whatever happened on the very lonesome road in the middle of nowhere, on the way to John Day, where they were going to meet with other like-minded bigots, the FBI and Oregon State Police arrested the leaders of this group that has been occupying Belair. Let's see, militant leader Ammon Bundy and his followers were heading off to this meeting, and state police confirmed that troopers were involved in a traffic stop shooting. One of those arrested suffered non-life-threatening wounds. One was killed, and chap that was killed was Robert Lavoy Finnicum. He was one of the most outspoken members of the band, and they have left behind what appears to be, from all accounts, 7 to perhaps 12 people still at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, and these people claim that they are in it for the long haul. You think that we'd already pretty much burned through the long haul, but this second chapter in the saga is going to be stranger and stranger. So with that said, and already a great deal has been said, so I think we can probably move right along. The Troutdale Energy Center project has been abandoned. The project would have built a 652-megawatt power plant at the former Reynolds Aluminum Factory site in Troutdale. That site is right down across the freeway. It's near the river. The center's application to the Oregon Department of Energy was formally withdrawn yesterday. A lot more about that. And the other piece of information that I want to get out to you, because again, this is something that you can actually take action on. Yellowstone Park is planning to slaughter hundreds of buffalo. The Animal Legal Defense Fund is filing a lawsuit to stop that from happening. The National Park Service is scheduled to capture and facilitate the killing of up to 900 buffalo, Yellowstone Park. Maybe they don't want the kiddies to see that, eh? And, okay, that said, moving right along, we're going to be speaking right now with Ellen Brown. Ellen, welcome to the KBOO Airwaves. We are so fortunate. We're so glad to welcome you.
Oh, thank you. Great to be talking to you.
We've had so many, others speaking about public banking on the Air Cascadia in the past. And you are, of course, you are one of the people that I have most wanted to hear from. So with that said, there is news. More states are signing on with public banking. Can you talk a little bit about what states we're talking about and, of course, what prompted them to take this move?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we still just have 20 states that have introduced bills of one sort or another for publicly owned banks. But we have cities now that are moving in that direction. So Philadelphia, just last week, their city council approved, they'll be having hearings on whether Philadelphia should establish its own city-owned bank. And Santa Fe commissioned a feasibility study, which just came out, and it was very favorable. Basically said how much money the city could save by doing its own financing. And let's see, there was a Vermont study, but that's a little older. There are numerous states that are working on it, but the actual bills, I think, are. In California, of course, I'm also working on it. But
yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think starting small is an ideal way to launch public banking. It makes it a lot more understandable for other people. And it also it demonstrates that this is quite doable. It's not necessary to roll this out in a big way at the start, but city by city across the country, more and more people are seeing the benefits of public banking. Do you want to just like briefly go over a few of the benefits and why prompted Philadelphia to adopt public banking?
Mm-hmm. Well, Philadelphia is quite broke, of course, as many cities are. Their school system is in disastrous shape. They use, schools generally across the country are using these, I just forgot the name of it. Anyway, they're a form of bonds that are like 30 or 40, they're, you pay them off 30 or 40 years in the future, and you pay several times principal. Like I know in California, there are some, capital appreciation bonds they're called. So there are some schools that are paying like, that will pay in 40 years, they'll be paying 15 times the principal of these loans. I mean, it's just unbelievable that any school district would even enter into them, but it's the only way they have of getting money. So if you have your own bank, basically what you do, following the model of the Bank of North Dakota, which is our one and only state-owned bank, a state-owned depository bank. I mean, in California, for example, we have an infrastructure bank, but that's, it doesn't take deposits. So what we're talking about, if you can take deposits, then you put the deposits of the city or the county or the state, whatever, whoever set up the bank, into that bank. And then the bank is able to do what all banks do, which is leverage or turn that money into more money in the form of loans. So basically, you double your money when you make loans. And this was, I mean, money reformers have been arguing this for 100 years, but the Bank of England finally came out like a year ago with a directive that said, contrary to popular belief, banks do not lend their deposits. They actually create deposits when they make loans. So what happens is the bank lends that money out, but it's still there on deposit. And if they need the money that's on deposit and it's not there, then they can do what all banks do, which is borrow from other banks very cheaply. It used to be 0.25%. You know, the Fed just raised the interest rate marginally, but now it's like 0.35%. So it's still almost nothing.
Not bad. Yeah.
So that's one thing. They save money, but I mean, they're basically keeping their money in the state or in the city or in the county to leverage for their own purposes and not for Wall Street's purposes.
And they think also,
not only do they save money on that, but they get to control who gets the money and on what terms. So they can give it to their, you know, they can lend it to themselves for infrastructure, basically saving 50% on the cost of infrastructure because on average, 50% of the cost of infrastructure is financing. So if you're doing it with your own money, obviously you save money. What? So that's two advantages. But you were going to say something. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, no. I just wanted to, we are pretty much out of time, but I'd like to invite you back. And I'd also like to invite you to join us for a pre-recorded interview where we go into more detail and depth, because it's something that people here in Portland are very interested in. There have been a few efforts in the past to bring public banking to Portland, and now is the time. I also want to ask you about other cities that might be adopting it and what would be stopping them. In any case, we are out of time for today, and I want to thank you, though, for joining us, however briefly. My guest has been, of course, Ellen Brown, Public Banking Institute, and our thanks to you for joining us on Air Cascadia this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much. Our next guest, Tony Eaglehart, ad hoc. Tony Eaglehart Garcia is going to be performing the 28th, I believe, it's a CD release party, and it benefits Red Lodge Transition Services. This is January 28th. It's at the McMinniman's Kennedy School, and it's the most fun you can possibly have while doing good for others, except for the other thing that you can do that's the most fun, benefiting somebody else. But so welcome to the KBO Airwaves. We're so pleased to have you on board. Good morning.
Good morning there. How
yeah.
are you doing?
Tell me a little bit about, first off, whose voice am I speaking to?
Wait, I have got a little grandson in the background.
That's
playing
okay.
The bongos. Ask that question one more time.
Whose voice am I speaking with?
This is Tony Garcia.
Tony, thank you so much. We have so little time. I'm going to ask you back tomorrow morning because that's the 27th, the day before, and we want to make sure people come out and hear the music, watch you the performance, which I understand is amazing.
Wonderful.
What is the association that with Red Lodge Transition Services? Why are you doing a benefit for them?
1 minute. Well, it kind of happened serendipitously where we've performed for them many times in the past as, you know, when they were putting together powwows at the prisons and doing different fundraisers. And as time went on, we started looking for people that we could engage with that were doing community service. We wanted to do community service as a band, which I think is kind of unusual. And lo and behold, we ran into these folks again for the third or fourth time, and the light went off and clicked. And we said, this is the group. This is the people we want to work with. We want to help these people help other people. Oh, it gives me a chill when I think
about
it. And so that was the beginning of coming together and talking about how we could help them, help the community, in this case, mostly women coming out of prison that have no resources or support. This is what they do. It's a fascinating, incredible need.
We just ran up against our time. This was extremely short. Come back tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, same time if you're able to. We're going to talk more
about...
Can you do that? Great. Prison powwow. We're going to talk more about Red Lodge Transition Services. We're going to talk more about your music. And we want to thank you so much for joining us this morning. We had a lot of headlines, a lot of talk to get through to finally reach you. Thank you so much. This has been, of course, Air Cascadia for Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. Patsy Corner engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Patsy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thank